Good morning. Welcome to live online worship with St. James Episcopal Church in Skaney Atlas, New York. There is a bulletin on our website that you can find at stjamesscan.org. And if you are present in the nave, you can access it through our Wi-Fi that you will find on your handheld device. We encourage those on Facebook to post and chat if that's your style. Today, the music is led by Michael Larkin, St. James Director of Contemporary Music and Technology, and members of the band and extended family. And our preacher this morning is Deacon Chuck Stewart.
The following podcast is a production of St. James Episcopal Church in Skaney Atlas, New York, and features thoughts and musical reflections based on the lectionary for this week. It is available on our website, iTunes, and Apple Podcasts. All music is licensed to St. James for streaming by One License and Christian Copyright Licensing International. For more information, visit stjamesskan.org.
I invite all of us now, those at home and those present here, to stand and let us begin our worship with song.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
You are Christ. This is a rather long gospel, so if you be more comfortable sitting down, feel free. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came up, and when he saw him, fell to his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. And she was no better, but rather she grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that the power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you? How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the women, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make such a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside, and he took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know about this and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. Today's gospel reading includes two healing stories. Mark often inserts one story inside another so that they complement each other thematically. This passage is the second of three that established Jesus as king, according to one commentator. Last week's gospel, when Jesus calmed the storm, closes with the disciples saying, "Who then is this? Even the wind and sea obey him." In today's reading, after the young girl was raised, those who were there with him were, quote, shocked or, quote, amazed, depending on the translation. In next week's gospel, when Jesus preaches in Nazareth, the hometown folks who had known him all his life exclaimed, quote, "Where did this man get all this? What's this wisdom that he's been given? What about the powerful acts accomplished through him? Isn't this the carpenter?" Today's gospel reading perhaps displays the greatest miracles, healing of a long-term malady and overcoming death. It's useful to put these in perspective. Last week, Jesus was on a boat on the Sea of Galilee, headed for Gentile territory, the land of the Gerasenes, where he healed a man possessed with demons. Jesus' ministry was not only to the Jews, it was also to the Gentiles. Now, this week, Jesus is back in the land of the Jews, ministering among his own people. Once again, though, Jesus' attention is to those at the margins. Both the woman with hemorrhages and the young girl, in Jewish tradition, were ritually unclean. In Jesus' day, being ritually unclean was a really big deal, especially for a religious leader, a rabbi like Jesus. The woman would have been permanently unclean, ostracized, because of her incurable hemorrhages. The woman may have had money at some point. She was able to afford physicians, but now she's broke. And she's a woman and can't have children. So she is marginalized and almost valueless unless she has a family, perhaps a father or a brother who would take her in. Today, we are offended by this situation, but that's what the culture was in the day of Jesus. She is healed just by touching the hem of his clothes. When Jesus knows this, he does not denounce her or send her away. Rather, he calls her to him. He calls her daughter, and he says these key words, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." In that culture, she is now fully returned to life. The little girl was dead. Thus, she was also ritually unclean, and much must to be avoided. Jesus, however, did not shy away from her. He actually touched her, taking her by her hand. The girl came from an affluent family. The woman did not. Rich and poor, Gentile and Jew, Jesus came for all. Once again, Jesus says that faith is a key, saying to the Father, quote, "Do not fear, only believe." Now the 12-year-old girl could return to her role in society, which in those days in the Middle Eastern Jewish culture was to be a wife and mother. To Jesus, the individual's status did not matter. Gentile or Jew, rich or poor, male or female, young or old, only believe, only believe. There is a song that captures Jesus' broad invitation. I think we sang it last week. Michael confirmed that. It was written by a prolific songwriter in Spain, Father Cesarea Cabrain. In Spanish, the words, in my opinion, are more poetic. Tu has venido a la orilla, no has buscado ni a sabes ni a ricos, tan solo quieres que yo te siga. And in English, Lord, you came to the seashore, neither searching for the rich nor the wise, desiring only that I should follow. Many here are rich, many are wise, some might be both, I don't know. Jesus, however, seeks not just the rich, not just the wise, only that we would follow. Jesus said, do not fear, only believe. In the Old and New Testament, there are 10 instances at least of people being raised from the dead, not only by Jesus, but by Peter, by Paul, by Elijah, by Elisha, and perhaps by others. Those miracles were rare, but they happened. And now many would ask, why not now? Some of you know that I work at Upstate Hospital 2 days a week, mostly in the medical intensive care unit. The work has caused me to examine and re-examine my theology. Since there are patients and families of various faith traditions, or no tradition at all, I don't push my beliefs on anyone. I generally try, though, to acknowledge their statements, sometimes with a, many believe that. When I hear, though, quote, well, God needed another angel, I cannot respond, for God does not cause death. As the wisdom reading said, quote, God created humans to live forever. He made them as a perfect representation of his own unique identity, end quote. We know, and God knows, that no one or nothing lives forever. God does not seek the death of anything or anyone. I believe that God gives God great pain when a person dies, even those martyrs who died in God's own service. There are sometimes miraculous recoveries. At the beginning of this pandemic, no one was quite sure how the virus was transmitted. All staff at the hospital who could possibly work remotely, including the volunteer assistant chaplains, were told to work from home. For 96 days, I spoke with families over the phone. They couldn't visit the hospital either, and neither could I. Most of the patients in the ICU couldn't talk. It was a very, very tough time. I spoke with one woman from Binghamton area whose husband of almost 50 years was in the ICU, intubated and sedated. We talked, we prayed. She cried. I probably did. She was very hopeful, and I tried to support that hope. I doubted, however, knowing the odds that he would ever go home. And the first day I was back in the hospital, I was in that same ICU as the medical transport people came to take this very same patient to rehab. He had been in the ICU 60 days and on a ventilator for half that time. Clearly a miracle, some would say. There was another young woman who had just had her first child. And this new mom became very sick with COVID shortly thereafter. She had the most extreme medical interventions during her time in the ICU. No one was optimistic. Then one day I went to look for her, and she had been moved to rehab. I took her a balloon, and she allowed, as she was also surprised that she survived. Another miracle. But sadly, many do not go home. Sadly, I've heard of people who say that those who don't make it haven't prayed hard enough. I have one word for those people, hogwash. I know some other words, but hogwash will do. God does not wish death. God does not pick and choose among us. His wisdom says, quote, the creative forces at work in the cosmos are life-giving, not death-dealing. We are never alone, even when we are alone. When the patient or family asks me to pray or allow me to pray, I don't use the prayer book, as beautiful as it is. But there are words from that prayer book, such as choirs of angels and a lamb of your own flock, I will use in my extemporaneous prayer and then ask God to be with us and to stay with us. I add that I believe that God is already there. Even in the hour of death, as God is there. Last week, a family asked for spiritual care as they said goodbye to husband and father. We spent 2 or 3 hours together. We talked about shared lives, jobs, grandchildren, etc. And I prayed before the ventilator was turned off, and I prayed after the ventilator was disconnected. And then spontaneously, wife on one side of the bed and daughter on the other, they began to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, very, very quietly. As the last words were whispered, dad and husband slipped through that gossamer curtain to the next life. As the psalm says, you've turned my wailing into dancing, you have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. Therefore my heart sings to you without ceasing. O Lord, my God, I give you thanks forever. Amen.
Because your love is better than life.
Wherever you are on your journey of faith, all are welcome here. For more information about this or any program offered by St. James, visit stjamesskan.org.